Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
If you here Sunday morning, can anybody tell me what the four things were that God said he blessed man with, Adam and Eve? He blessed them that they would be able to do four things. The first one was be, very good, fruitful. Second one was multiply. The third one was replenish. And then the last one was subdue. Yeah, subdue. So be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue. That's God's original assignment for mankind. That's still his assignment. That's the blessing. He blessed man. He said every day he created it's good, but man he blessed. And he blessed him to be able to carry out this assignment, to be fruitful no matter what the season is in your life. No matter if it's dry or if it's winter, you can be fruitful. No matter what the condition is, you can be fruitful. No matter where you're planted, you can be fruitful. Okay? To multiply, make disciples, make more people come to know God and become like God. To multiply. You've been blessed to multiply. You've been blessed to make disciples. Don't say, I don't know how to witness to somebody. Your life is a witness. It's either a witness for God or against God, but your life is a witness and you're called to multiply, make disciples with your life. You got that blessing on your life. You got the blessing on your life to be fruitful in any season. You got the blessing on your life to replenish, refill, restore. Whether it's broken relationships, you've been called and blessed by God to be able to restore, replenish, refill, and then subdue. When you see the enemy going around wreaking havoc and causing trouble, you have the blessing of God upon your life and the authority to subdue him, to bind and loose. You have that authority. You have that blessing upon your life. Amen? Good review. Very good. You did very good. I'm very impressed that you could remember those things. Before I'm getting ahead of myself here, I want to announce a couple announcements. There's the gun safety class this Saturday, the 18th. So gun safety class this Saturday, the 18th. Remember that. Also, there's going to be a church cleanup day, June 22nd. We'll tell you more about that as we get ahead. We need to have a day where we come in, we all work together and take a morning, a few hours, and just help clean up some cobwebs and things like that are around here that need everybody can do a little help to clean up your church. Amen? Thank you. All right, Isaiah chapter 41, verses 15 and 16. This is the Lord speaking. I'd like you to hear this as if God is talking directly to you, because he is, through his word. This is what the Lord says to you. I will help you. Aren't you glad? You need help? God says, I'll help you. The Lord, your Redeemer. See, he says, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument with double edges. And you shall thresh mountains. And you're going to beat them small, and the wind's going to carry away what's left of them. And then you're going to rejoice in the Lord and you're going to glory in God that he was able to do this with your life. Hallelujah. Now this is the Lord speaking to you about your circumstances. Anybody got any mountains in your life? Sure you do. Everybody's got some mountains. Okay. And God says that these mountains in your life are going to be tools that you learn who I want to be to you and for you in this life. your mountains, well, you think your mountains are really your problems or your challenges or your issues, but God sees your mountains as your assignment. Part of your assignment. Because He sovereignly could have kept that mountain from forming in front of you. Now that mountain is some kind of problem. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's a family problem. Maybe, whatever it is in your life. It's a mountain. You wake up every morning, it's there. You go to bed at night, it's there. And you're wanting that mountain to be moved. Well, it can be. But God has specifically made that mountain part of your assignment so you can grow up. So you can mature. He says, I'm going to make you a sharp threshing instrument, a double-edged sword. I'm going to make you a double-edged sword, and you're going to thresh this mountain. And as you thresh it, you're going to chop it down. It's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller over a period of time. And eventually, it's going to be so small, you're going to turn around one day, and the wind has blown it away. And you say, where was that mountain we were dealing with all of our life? It's gone. And you're going to glory in the Lord. You're going to rejoice in God. And you're going to glory in God. It means you're going to be in awe and wonder at what the Lord has done in your life. And your life's going to be a testimony that people are going to come to you and say, how did you do this? How were you able to make it like you make it? So these mountains are going to be cut down to size by your mouth. Everybody say, my mouth in God's hands is a weapon. My mouth in my hands is a weapon. Not a good one. Okay. So God's going to cut down the mountains in our lives with the word that He's going to give that we're to put in our mouth to speak to them. So I'd like you to think about somebody maybe here having a mountain of health problems. It's just continually there's stuff there, one thing after another. A bad report from a doctor, whatever it is. A mountain of family burdens, a mountain of financial, you don't know how you're going to get this debt paid. Or a mountain of whatever it is. Now, back to Isaiah 41, 15, 16. I want you to see this on the screen, please. I want you to notice something. Now, you tell me, according to this scripture, what does God want to be to us? Two things. What? First, He wants to be your helper. Number two, He wants to be your redeemer. So number one is that He wants to be my helper. He wants to be my redeemer. Okay? That's from the Word of God. That's what you see. Now, how is God going to be your helper? How is He going to be your redeemer? Notice, He's not going to take away the problems. He's going to use the problems to help you. When's the last time you got a problem, you thanked God for it? You got on the phone and you called your friend and you said, hey, guess what? You're not going to believe it. I got a new problem. I'm so excited. I can't figure out how He's going to do it and what He's going to do, but boy, this is going to be good. And the person on the other end of the line said, man, I'm so jealous. You got all these problems. I wished I had some. That probably hasn't happened in a long time, if ever. But the truth of the matter, God wants you to see this from His perspective. He has assigned some mountains in your life. It's an assignment from God. He's going to help you. He says, I want to help you. I'm glad you got this thing in front of you that you say, man, I can't take care of this. I'm glad I will help you. I'm excited about helping you. And He's going to help us face this mountain with a word, a living word, a rhema word, a personal word that God's going to give to you out of an intimate relationship with Him. And you're going to speak this word with confidence until one day that mountain is totally gone. And you're going to have a testimony you can tell your great-grandchildren about. Amen. You're going to talk about this the rest of your life. Look what the Lord has done. It's like God is setting us up in situations where it looks like there is no way possible to succeed. Does that sound like God? All through the Bible, it seems like God works with the underdog. It always seems like God lets things get worse before they get better, so he gets the glory out of it. So no man can say it was my strength. No man can say it was my talent. No man can say it was my ability. No man can say, oh, it was my gifting. No, it had to be God. Amen. There's no way to prosper. And then God takes pleasure in putting a weapon, notice a double-edged, to take down the mountain. What is this sharp, threshing, double-edged instrument that we're supposed to take down mountains with that seem impossible? It's the personal word. There's a logos word. That means the written word of God. And we read the scriptures. We should read the written word of God, the Bible. But then there is the rhema word, which is a rhema, R-H-E-M-A, which means a personal word that the Holy Spirit quickens to you or speaks to you in some way. And this word is for your specific use for situation, so that it will be a double-edged sword to whatever this thing is God says to speak to it. A rhema is a personal word. The word rhema is the Greek word. And the word rhema is in Ephesians 6 when it speaks about the armor of God. And it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema word of God. The word rhema there. So the sword of the Spirit, what you go to war with, what you attack the enemy with, what you attack the mountain with, is a personal word that God has quickened to you, and you somehow realize and know that God is speaking to you. He's given you a word, and now it's supposed to come out of your mouth. And when it does, it's sharp, cuts both ways. And it will take down the giant, it'll take down the enemy, and this is what takes down the mountain. This is that sharp threshing instrument. God says, I'm going to make you that word. That word is your personal word. That's your inheritance word. That's a word that I have given you. It may be a life verse. It may be something that you have read. And everywhere you go, you bump into that same word. And you just know God's talking to you. He's given you this word. And he wants you to hide it deep in your heart. And then he's going to show you the times that you need to speak it. You're going to speak it at the times, especially in the darkest hour. Especially in the time when it doesn't look like there's any hope at all. That's the time you take out this word and you remember this word and you speak this word with confidence. Now, we should be collecting words. I encourage you to get you a little dollar or 50 cent notebook. Keep it with you as much as you can throughout your day. Take it with you wherever you go, especially in devotion times and when you come to church. And you should be collecting words. Now, not every word is a rhema word for you, but every word of God is alive, and you can feed on it, you can meditate on it, and sometimes you put words together that God gives you over a period of time, and you begin to see the bigger picture of what God's trying to show you. And so your memory is good, but it's not as good as ink and paper. And so you want to write things down as you believe God's quickening things to you or speaking things to you to encourage your heart. And maybe it's for somebody else. And that's how sermons come together for me over during the week and 2 weeks, sometimes months. I just collect things that I just believe God's speaking to me. Even a moment ago, there was something in one of the songs I just felt like God was quickening to me personally. And I just wrote down a phrase that I just thanked him for it. I felt like that was speaking to me. So I just put it there. Now, I don't know how to apply it yet, but I hang on to it. And if I write it down, I have it. And then later on, the Holy Spirit will come back and he'll show me in review. Oh, you put that here. you put that there, you put this here, and next thing you know, this is what you're preaching Sunday morning. So you ought to be collecting words, and you ought to have a notebook, and take them to you, take them especially in your times of prayer. So let's say, for example, let's just take an exercise. Let's say that right now you're facing a season in your life, you have a mountain of health problems, And so you need some scripture. So you go to the Word of God. Now listen, if you don't know the Bible, if you're kind of new in the Lord or you don't know the Bible that well, one of the greatest instruments you can use to find scripture is Google. You got a computer? You got a phone? Google. Scriptures in the Bible about healing. You can start with that. But after over a period of time walking with the Lord, you're going to collect some. And so you start collecting some and you meditate and read them. One of them might just jump at you and become a personal word that God's quickened to you and wants you to use it. So you have this mountain of health problems, and so you need the Word of God. You start collecting scriptures that mean something to you. You write them down. You keep them. And 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes we are healed. You ought to know that already. Psalm 103:3, He sent His Word and healed our disease. Galatians 3:13, we're redeemed from the curse of the law, and the curse was sickness and death and all of that. I mean, just to give you some idea. And so you have these scriptures so you can speak to your mountain. I guarantee you every day your mountain's speaking to you. Your mountain's saying, oh man, my back aches. Or I ain't getting any better. Or I may have to go back to the doctor. Or whatever. Your mountain is talking to you. And you talk back to the mountain with a living word from God. And the mountain will come down over a period of time. Now this is the way God trains us. He's teaching us how to live in this world, a broken world, where there is sickness and death and disease. And we do get attacked by the enemy. Now, maybe your mountain is financial problems. Maybe financial burdens. Maybe it's so big you just can't see any way how you're ever going to get out of debt. Well, you go to the Word of God and start collecting these words. And speak these words back to the enemy, to the mountain. You know, all these are words from God given to us. God's word was first a spoken word. It became a written word, but God intends it now to become a spoken word again out of your mouth. He wrote it down for us because He knew we wouldn't remember it all. He gave us a Bible. He gave us an ability to read. There are many people in the world tonight who don't have the ability to read. You have the ability to read, and you can read the Word. You can listen to the Word on the tape or from your phone, and you can learn to speak the Word of God. There's scriptures right there. What about family burdens? Anybody ever have a child or a grandchild that is away from God? Anybody at all? About one or two? Okay. And then, there's some scriptures there for you to be able to claim. Now, I crafted a prayer today that I'm going to let you just hear me pray this prayer that I wrote it out. And it's not on the screen, so I just want you to listen to it as I'm praying. I have a son that's not out there. He's not where he needs to be. And so I pray like something like this. Father, Your word says, my children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. That's Isaiah 54:13. You said that children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. And that's Psalm 127:3. You said, Lord, blessed would be the fruit of my body, Deuteronomy 28:4. In Proverbs 11:21, you said that the seed of the righteous would be delivered. Your spirit is operating in the life of my son because I pray for them in the name of Jesus. And I come against the evil spirit that is operating in their life, and I bind that power in the name of Jesus. I call them into their destiny that you have for them. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Holy Spirit, I call you to draw them to yourself and cross their path with the right people at the right place at the right time that will help them get on the right path for their life. And I thank you for this victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Something like that. Doesn't have to be exact like that. Just something like that. But you're speaking the word of God to your mountain. Now, what's happening in your mind as you are being proactive rather than being passive? If you're passive, you know the mountains are there every day and you don't bother talking to them. You don't want to talk to them. But when you're proactive, you start talking to them. As long as you're passive and you don't talk to those mountains seem to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Can I get a witness? But when you start talking to them, guess what? They start getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Because you're talking to them and you're telling them what their destiny is. Does anybody here understand what I'm saying? The end result of this scripture in Isaiah 41:20 says, and 41:16 says, you're going to rejoice in the Lord and glory in Him. You're going to go, wow, God, you are absolutely amazing at what you did. I'm in awe of your miracle power, of your timing, and the way you did things. And then it's going to be in 41:20, it says, so that people may see and know and consider and understand together that this is the hand of the Lord. This is a miracle of God. This is a testimony of God. God had to do this. There's no other way this could have happened except the Lord. Everybody here, I'm telling you, God has planned in your life for you and I to have a multitude of these kind of testimonies. So what are your mountains? They're your assignments. God wants your mouth to have the personal word of God, speak to your mountains, and tell your mountains what's going to happen according to the word of God. Now, so what is God doing now to help us with all this? He's our helper. He's our redeemer. He's going to take the bad things and turn around and make good come out of it. That's what a redeemer does. The first thing he's going to help us find the right word from His word for the specific situation or mountain we have. There is a specific word. There is a rhema word that God wants you to have so you can use this in your specific situation. Now, how's He going to do that? He's going to help you in some way find this word. It would help if you'd cooperate and get in the Bible and read the Bible. But even if you don't do that, God knows how. He's a genius at being able to somehow get you to pay attention to a word that He's speaking to you. Amen. I don't know how He does it, but I know He's done it with me and He can do it with you. Now, this is an ongoing thing, but we got to be paying attention. We got to be paying attention to the Lord. Look at this scripture, Hebrews 10:8. But what does the word say? The word is near you. It's already in your mouth and in your heart. Now, I want you to say that out loud with me. But what does the word say? The word is in your mouth and in your heart. This is actually a quote. Paul is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 11 through 14, I'm going to paraphrase for you. He's quoting an Old Testament scripture. He's saying the word is already in you. God has already placed His word in your heart and in your mouth. By the time you speak it out, you think you just got it. No, He already put it there. Now, the Deuteronomy scripture paraphrases like this. It's like this. The word of God is not hidden from you, nor is it far off. It's not way up there in heaven, so we got to ask somebody, would you go up to heaven and bring the word to us? It's not far across the sea, so we got to say, would you go over there and get the word and bring it to us? He says, no, that's not that at all. The word is already near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That's Old Testament. Now, what does that mean? God is genius, brilliant, all wisdom, all knowledge. He knows how to communicate to you. He knows how to ring your bell. He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to talk to you in a way that you know He's talking to you. Amen. He knows how to do that. He's really good at it. And He is going to communicate to you in some incredible way. He's going to put the word that He wants for you to hang on to and use to face your mountain, He's going to put it in your heart. Now, He might put it in your heart while you're asleep at night, in your dream. He might put something in your mind, put a word, a scripture, put a thought, put an idea in your mind. And then later on the next day or the next week or 2 or 3 weeks later, you're driving along, going about your business, and this just pops out of your head or pops out of your mouth for some reason. You're just thinking on this. Matter of fact, you've thought about it for a few times as a fleeting thought, but here it is. Now it just comes out at the right time. God has an incredible way of being able to communicate to us. And He knows how to tuck His word inside your heart and inside your mouth and at the right moment touch you and that word comes out. And you're just as surprised as everybody. Where'd that come from? And it was the Lord putting it in you. It may come like this. You may say something like, well, I don't know how I know, but I just know that God wants me to do this. Has anybody ever done that? Raise your hand. I don't know how I know, I just know. Well, God put it in your heart. Sometime, somewhere, maybe in the nighttime, who knows? Or you may have said it this way. Now, I know this doesn't make any sense, but I just know God is leading me to do this. Totally contrary to your reason and your wisdom. I know it doesn't make sense, but I just know somehow God wants me to do this. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? Well, you see, this is already happening. God is genius. He knows how to communicate to you. He knows how to do it. During most of our history, think about human history, the vast majority of people in the world did not know how to read. Think about that. Not like today. And so most people did not have access to Bibles, didn't have Bibles. And yet God was able to communicate to them through a variety of ways the gospel. People still got saved. Even if there wasn't a preacher, even if there wasn't a church. In the Renaissance time, during the 1400s, 1700s, I think somewhere around that era, most people couldn't read. Most people were illiterate. And there were a lot of dramas and a lot of plays and a lot of artwork and stuff that was inspired by God, I believe, to present Jesus, present the gospel. And a lot of people got saved by looking at a picture. They'd call on the name of the Lord. Holy Spirit would bear down on them. They'd get saved. Or they'd see a play that was presenting the gospel or some form of the gospel. And they would get saved as a result. God knows how to talk to people through a variety of ways. Has God ever talked to you through a television show or through a movie? Amen. It's not a Christian movie. I'm telling you, He's genius at this. So He knows how to communicate to us. So we have to understand, the faith that we have to believe in God didn't come from us. Where did it come from? Came from God. Romans 12:3 says every man's been given a measure of faith. So to even be able to believe in God, God gave you the faith to begin with. How did He do that? He's brilliant, isn't He? And then, not on top of that, God will give you hope in a situation when there seems to be no hope whatsoever. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe doctors gave you no hope, but somehow deep in your heart, you just had hope against all reason? And you knew later on that it was God that told you, don't give up. Watch what I'm going to do. Or you're in a difficult situation, and God just places hope in your heart so that you can have joy and peace while you're believing for that mountain to come down. Are you with me? So your born-again spirit. Now, remember, you have a... You're born again. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, you have your human spirit and the Spirit of God is joined together as one spirit. I put two S's up there like that for spirit, for born again spirit. Then you have a soul and you live in a body. Now, your spirit picks up on the things of God as well as picks up on the things that are of the enemy. You can go into a room, an atmosphere, and your spirit will pick up on whether it's good or evil, if it's God or it's not God. You understand? Your born-again spirit believes the Word of God. Your born-again spirit does not doubt the Word of God whatsoever. It's 100% faith. It believes the Word of God. In fact, when the Word of God is being preached or taught like I am right now, every once in a while, it's like your spirit will jump alive, like, pay attention. God is talking to you. God is talking to you. Can you hear Him? Wake up. Pay attention. God is talking. Every once in a while, your spirit will go, that's from me. Right? Well, write that down. Write that down. Come back to it and meditate on it. God is quickening something to you. You're going to need this, or you need it now, or you're going to need it tomorrow. It's quickened to you. So your spirit's picking up on it. It's like it jumps to life. Ooh, that's God talking to me. That's your born-again spirit. Now, your soul is the battleground. This is where the enemy comes in, because he doesn't have access to this, but he has access to your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And the enemy comes in and says, no, ain't nothing going to change. No, they're not going to live. They're going to die. No, it ain't going to get any better. So here's where the enemy comes in the area and tries to attack your soul and your mind. That's where the battlefield is, and tries to talk you down from believing God. Your spirit believes, but now here's the enemy coming and said, look at it. Nothing's changing. Nothing's getting any better. That mountain ain't going anywhere. That preacher don't have any idea what he's talking about. It's not going to work. Now, one of the ways you know you're listening to Satan's broadcast is your mind begins to worry. Y'all know how to worry? Do I need to demonstrate? You're pretty good at it already, right? You've had some practice? Okay. One of the ways you know you're listening to Satan's broadcast is you worry. Worry is nothing more than meditation on the negative, meditation on the doubt. That's all it is. One of the ways you know you're listening to Satan's broadcast, your mind is tuned to the wrong broadcast. Your mind is tuned to the FM channel, the failure mode channel. Okay? And you need to be tuned to the AM channel, the abiding mode. Okay, we're supposed to be abiding in Christ. Christ is with us and we're with Him. But you're in the failure mode channel and then you start to worry. Another way you can tell your soul is tuned to the wrong channel is to listen to your own words coming out of your mouth. Your own words will reveal what you're listening to. Failure mode or abiding mode? It don't take a lot to discern. Hello. So God wants to be our helper, right? He wants to be our redeemer, right? He wants to show us and train us. Part of our assignment is to learn how to take down these mountains, correct? I need your response. Yes? So He's going to coach us. He's going to help us by coaching us to step up and speak to the mountain the word that He's given us. And it's resonating in our heart. And we just know this is a word we're supposed to speak. Question. Why speak words to our problems? Well, they're talking to you. They are talking to you. So you talk back to them, but with the word of God. And the more you speak to that mountain out loud, the less formidable it looks, the less intimidating it looks. A great movie, if you haven't seen, I'd recommend you watch. It's been out for several years now, called War Room. Good movie about prayer. Taking the word of God and speaking the word of God to your problems, to the situation, talking it out loud, speaking it out loud. If you need encouragement in that area, I encourage you to watch that movie. So every time you speak the word of God, you're cutting this mountain down a little bit at a time. And one day, it's going to be so small, the wind's going to blow it away. Now, look at this scripture with me. Proverbs 18:21. We heard it Sunday morning. I'd like you to say it out loud with me. The power of life and death are in the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Notice the last part. You're going to eat the fruit of the power of your words. God could take down the mountain in a heartbeat. He could do it without us, no problem. But He chooses to partner with us. He says, I want to help you. I want to redeem you. I want to show you what I want to be to you in this situation. I want you to be yoked to me and learn from me. Another scripture, notice 2 Corinthians 1:20. And notice the last part especially. Say it out loud with me. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Him to the glory of God. Through who?
Through us.
So we partner with Him. The promises of God are already said. Yeah, that's a promise. Yes. Yes, I say yes to that. That's a promise for me. I say yes and amen. And it's going to glorify God, but God's going to do it through us. Through us. Our lives include mountains that are going to glorify God. And the reason is, Isaiah 41:20 tells us why. Isaiah 41:20, that people may see, know, consider, understand together, the hand of the Lord has done this. God has done this. It wasn't me making a lot of money. It wasn't my wisdom. It wasn't my talent. It wasn't my gifting. God did this. People are going to see. They're going to know. They're going to consider. Some are going to come to the Lord as a result of you dealing with this mountain. And they're going to understand together the hand of the Lord has done this. Now, we all have some mountains that are assigned to us. You got your mountains, I've got mine. We all experience attacks from the enemy. But no matter what happens, we should always remain optimistic and we should remain in peace. Thank you for all those encouraging amens.
Amen.
You should remain in peace. You should remain optimistic. You're people of faith. You're called to be believers, not doubters. And so we should always be optimistic. And when a trial comes or a problem comes or a mountain is before you, you can say, now, Lord, I don't know how you're going to deliver me from this. I don't know when the outcome's going to be, but I know that you're faithful and you're going to deliver me some way, somehow, and people are going to see it and glorify you. Now, God spoke this word through Isaiah. Listen to this. You know it, Isaiah 54:12. Say it out loud with me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17, rather. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now notice, he did not say that you would not have problems. He never said you wouldn't have trouble. He said the problem may form. The weapon may be formed by the enemy, but you're to remain in peace because it's not going to prosper against you. You may see it being formed. You may see the attack coming. You see it happening, but you're to remain in peace because that weapon's not going to prosper. So when you're tempted to worry, you got to speak to yourself. This problem may be there. I acknowledge that it's there. But I have a promise from God that it's not going to prosper. The medical report may not look good, but my life is in God's hands. I'd like to read to you a testimony I read out of a good book. True story. True information. Researchers were studying Alzheimer's disease. They studied the brains of older people who had died, both people who had and not had the disease. They found that many people who had lesions on their brains that technically qualified them as having Alzheimer's, but they had never shown any signs of it while they were alive. Their minds were clear, their reasoning was good, their memories were sharp. Scientifically, they had Alzheimer's, but the symptoms never showed up. The common denominator of all of them was that they were positive, they were hopeful, they stayed productive, they were people in faith. Are you listening? They had technically the disease, but they never showed the symptoms. So I said, be careful when you get a report from a doctor. You go to God first about that. Amen. Yes, sir, I hear what you're saying. Thank you, physician. Thank you. Remember, they're practicing physicians. They're doing what they've been trained to do. But now you go to God and you go to His Word. Don't accept that and start claiming that. Well, I have this and well, I have that. Well, then guess what? You'll have what you say. You have it. But you watch what you say. You believe, I'm healed. By His stripes, I'm healed. I'm resisting the attack of the enemy. Yes, it may be a weapon formed against me, but it's not going to prosper. Are you listening? Amen. There's another thing, another story. You may have heard of this. You may have seen it on television. A man was born with no ears. A little baby was born with no ears. The doctor told his parents, he's never going to be able to hear or speak. The problem had formed. In the natural, it didn't look good, but we have a supernatural God. The man's parents didn't believe that what he was born with had to prosper. They didn't sit around and saying, oh, what are we going to do? He's never going to hear. He's never going to be able to have a prosperous life. They started speaking the word. They prayed. They believed. They declared God's favor. When the baby was just a few months old, the doctors then discovered that he had the very tiny start of an eardrum. These incredibly gifted doctors began to perform surgery with what they found they didn't know that he had before, a little tiny eardrum. They created new ears. They helped to correct the problem. After many more surgeries and continuing on into adulthood, this man can not only hear, but he can speak and he can sing. And today, he's a worship leader. You may have heard him. He was on American Idol singing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone in front of millions of people. As a living testimony, look what the Lord can do. Stay in a place of peace. Stay in a place of rest. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Speak to your mountains because they're speaking to you. Would you stand up with me and let's just praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. It will not return void. You are equipping your saints so they can minister out in the marketplace, so they can minister not only to themselves, but to their neighbors, to the church worldwide. Father, you are equipping us to carry this gospel into all the world. We thank you, Father, for this word that you have given. It will not return void. Satan will not snatch it out of our hearts. We will hide it, we'll keep it, we'll meditate on it, and we will apply it as the Holy Spirit shows us and helps us. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And let everybody say,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, folks. Good night.